how can we strengthen category pages? How can we increase the amount of them? And how can we do that at scale? And that's kind of where the bulk of our strategy is.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, we're talking SEO. We're diving deep into an SEO case study, an ongoing project to hit some pretty phenomenal targets. It's a fascinating case study that I came across on LinkedIn. And when I saw it, I just knew we had to have Sam on to chat us through it. Now, he does run an SEO agency and he is kind of using this as a test case for some SEO software they're working on. So you will hear a bit about that in this chat. But this is must listen if you want a way to increase your sales relatively quickly. They've 10x'd sales in less than a year on the website they've been deploying this strategy on. It is a pretty straightforward strategy to deploy. It's one that's going to give you results no matter what happens. It's not like backlinks where you're sending out a million emails and never getting anything back in return. This delivers from as soon as you start deploying it. So it's very much within your control. And he's also talking about backlinks, busting a couple of myths of things, telling us about some things it's really not worth our while doing in the world of SEO and e-commerce. So if you are a multi-SKU brand, so that's over 100 SKUs in your business, keep listening. This could be really good for you. If you're a single or few SKU brand, this one's not going to be as useful. So you might want to go and pick a different episode to have a listen to. I mean, by all means, keep listening because the things not to do are pretty cool. But this is definitely a multi-SKU case study coming up. If you choose to listen, and I hope those multi-SKU brands do, then please make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest top tips and my own take on this episode. In this episode, I'm chatting with SEO expert Sam Wright. Sam is the managing director at specialist e-commerce SEO agency Blink SEO and at Macaroni Software, the new Shopify-specific SEO tool he's building to solve problems that they found with SEO at Blink SEO, especially productivity-wise. Sam's been in SEO since 2007 and in e-commerce since 2002. Hello, Sam.
Hello. Thanks for having us.
Okay, Sam. So with your massive amount of experience going back so many years, how did you end up finding your way into e-commerce?
So my kind of entry point in e-commerce was, funnily enough, selling stuff on eBay. My first business was selling secondhand records, and that was one of the kind of channels we were using. It was an interesting entry point, I think.
Cool. Look, let's dive into this amazing SEO project you're currently working at, because when I've seen you updating about it on LinkedIn, I was like, I have to get this story on the podcast. So give us the basics of what you've kind of challenged yourself and your team to do. You know, when did you start? What's the target? What's it all about?
Yeah, it is a really interesting project. We started on it about 6 or 7 months ago. The overall goal was, the business currently is doing quite well on Amazon, which is really important for us in some ways, because we know that there's product market fit. You know, there's demand. They've got a lot of the kind of like raw elements for a successful e-commerce business now. But their D2C side just wasn't generating much revenue. So, for example, they're doing about 100K a month on Amazon. And when we started on the project, about 4 or 5K through Shopify. So there's a massive discrepancy there. Our kind of overall goal is to match that Amazon revenue through the Shopify sales.
I love how you started off there by saying, it's a brand that we know customers want the product. And I think you can spend so much time trying to SEO something or market something where the customers don't actually want the product. So I think that's such a clever way of looking at it. Actually, Amazon success means there's potential for non-Amazon success because the customers are into it. So 6-7 months ago, you started. It was just shy of 4,000 a month on D2C, and you're looking to get it to 100,000 so it matches the Amazon. What's your target for that? Is that like a 6 month? Well, clearly it's not a 6 month project. You started 6 to 7 ago. Is it a 10 year project, a 5 year project? How long do you reckon this is going to take you?
We've mapped it out at 24 months. But obviously, we're aiming to do that much quicker, and we're tracking on that as well to get it done much quicker.
Got you. Okay. Don't worry, everyone. We're going to get into how shortly. I know you can't tell us very much about the product because it's quite sensitive, but what can you tell us about the site, the product that you're doing the SEO for?
So it's consumer goods and a high SKU count, which I think the latter is kind of super important for the approach with this project.
Why is high SKU count important? Why is it that it's a brand that's got loads of products? Why is that important to this?
High SKU count in this case is like 300-400. Typically, when we talk about like the different strategies for SEO, I kind of have like minimal SKU count, like 3 to 4 for a certain kind of D2C project. And then anything over 100 has a kind of different strategy. And I suppose one way of explaining that is there's a lot of D2C businesses out there that might have 3-4 products or even one. Their main model for acquisition is something like Facebook ads. In those cases, a lot of the time, the strategy really should be about positioning and the kind of differentiation around your product. Whereas with a larger SKU count, you can focus on taxonomy. And there's kind of two really, really different ways of doing SEO. They need completely different approaches.
Got you. So for anyone listening who's only got one SKU, they should be careful about taking on the stuff we're going to be talking about, because a lot of it won't be relevant to them because it's very much a high SKU, 100 plus SKU strategy. You've been warned, everybody. I don't want any emails from anyone with 2 or 3 SKUs going, "We tried to do this and it didn't work." You have been warned.
They would not be able to.
Well, yeah, I suspect, I don't know exactly what you've been doing. I'm looking forward to learning along with the listeners, but I can take a rough guess it would be nigh on impossible to actually do it, let alone expect the results. So you've been going for 6 to 7 months. How's it going so far? What can you tell us?
There's a degree of seasonality in it. I think the forecast for this current month that we're in looks about 40K, and we've had a couple of 40K months already in November and December. Things dropped off in January because demand goes down, but we were still tracking kind of well ahead of forecast.
So you've already kind of 10x'd what you're delivering in less than a year?
Yes, that's right.
Wow, that's impressive. Okay, let's get into what you've done. Is there a linking strategy in this?
There is not.
So no backlink activity, no PR, no emailing people asking for guest blog slots, none of that stuff?
No. And probably out of the kind of 30 or 40 projects that we have on at any one time, we're only doing active link building for 4 or 5 of them.
So Blink, like less than 10% of your projects involve link building?
Yes. And that's only when we get to a certain stage of the project as well.
Why?
I think that comes down to the kind of SKU count stuff that I was talking about.
Is it that because the rest of the strategy is so powerful, it's not worth deploying link building yet? The return on it is so much lower that you're better really working on strategy A rather than going after link building strategy B? Would that be a short answer?
Yeah, I think so. And the kind of stuff that we do, you have so much more control over as well. Link building is time consuming, unpredictable. You know, it's hard to really track the impact of it as well.
Oh, agreed.
We've got stuff that we prefer doing because it's faster. And we can see in a kind of really granular way, like what impact it's having.
Cool. So let's get into that then, because I'm not sure we could delve deeper into the not doing backlinks piece. But I doubt there's a single person listening to this going, "Please, please tell me more about backlinks," because they're not a fun job. So what are you diving in on in this project? What is it about the multiple SKUs that enable you to do this? What is it you're actually doing to 10x sales in less than a year?
A while ago, we were kind of looking at all of the data across all of our projects. So all of our data is stored in a data warehouse. We kind of standardize it across clients, so it's really easy to see what's going on. And we did some analysis, and essentially that we saw that about a slice under 60% of organic revenue comes in on a collection page on Shopify, like a category page. And this kind of makes real sense because it's at that point, and again, I'm talking about stores with a reasonable number of products here. It's just at that kind of right point in the buying journey. So if you're selling furniture, it's like 4-seater round living room tables. Those kind of searches are the ones that have the kind of like the highest amount of commercial value. There's no correlation between publishing blog content, for example, and increasing revenue. So our kind of view has always been, how can we strengthen category pages? How can we increase the amount of them? And how can we do that at scale? And that's kind of where the bulk of our strategy is.
Got you. So it's all about creating more category pages, more collection pages, and that over and above any blog content at all as well?
Yeah, I mean, I've done quite a lot of diving into the data across our clients, you know, and the ones where we can say with a really good degree of certainty that blog content is contributing to organic revenue, it's a handful. And that tends to be on those small SKU count D2C projects where it's a completely different strategy. But for a kind of higher SKU count, like more traditional retailer, blog content really doesn't make that much difference in most instances.
Right. So what does a good collection page look like then? Is it literally just a better selection of products, or do you have to put some effort into putting unique content, etc. on there? Or am I coming at this from completely the wrong direction?
No. You're absolutely right. Again, without meaning to get too down in the weeds on this, I think last year there was a leak from the Russian search engine Yandex, which showed some of the code that it uses. And obviously Yandex is not Google or Bing or whatever, but it showed the kind of approach that a search engine would take to classify, you know, how it sees a collection page. There was like code elements that count the number of products. So we know the number of products on a collection page, you know, is something that search engines look for. As a rule of thumb, we try to have three or more products. That's kind of one of our rules for justifying a collection page. Like single products can sometimes trigger a soft 404 in Search Console. They can see it as a thin page. So we try to have three or more products on there. We try to get above the fold and below the fold content on there as well.
Got you. So are we adding videos or anything, or is it literally just copy at the top, copy at the bottom, good selection of products that link to a decent keyword?
I mean, that's probably about 80% of it. Yeah. FAQ content's good. All of that stuff can be really useful. But those are the kind of core elements that we're talking about. That and some good schema on there.
Yes. I'm going to resist diving into the rabbit hole that is schema and suggest everyone Googles it, because we could be here for another 3 hours. So, Sam, for those listening who've got lots of SKUs who are going, awesome, brilliant, let's, the next X number of months, we're going to spend a day a month creating new collection pages. What else do they need to know before they head off down there so they don't accidentally run themselves into a dead end?
Okay, so I think probably this is a good point to explain how we've used Macaroni on this project. If you were to go off and create a bunch of category pages just based on SEO, you'd probably go and do some keyword research, and you'd get a bunch of numbers, and it would and then you'd have some like possible gaps that you could fill, but then you might not actually have the products to do it, you know, because you're just basing it on third-party data of things that you could do. One of the way that Macaroni works is we connect to Shopify, we extract all of the tags from Shopify, and then we run like a clustering algorithm on those, and it kind of shows us combinations of tags that don't have a corresponding category. You know, it's like instead of doing top-down keyword research, it's a way of doing it bottom-up based on your existing catalog. And then we can just send those live with a couple of clicks. So that's one way that we kind of surface the new category opportunities.
Got you. So it's as much about looking at what products you've got as it is about looking at what keywords are missing. And it sounds a little bit, I mean, clearly the Macaroni software can make this an awful lot easier for somebody, but it sounds a bit like you're almost thinking more about consumer need than you are about search engine need.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely one way of doing it. And part of that is down to, you know, the data that we get from search engines is so poor. Keyword search volume is inaccurate. Click data from Search Console is inaccurate. And I mean, that's a whole subject in itself. So it's kind of better just to, you know, work with your catalog, really. And yeah, provided you've got three or more products to make up a category, then that's normally enough.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So, Sam, are you ready for the top tips?
Absolutely.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I am not a fan of many business books. I find that they should be a blog post or an email rather than a book. But there's kind of one that I keep coming back to that I think does have real value. And that's Obviously Awesome by April Dunford. So this is a book on positioning, and it's written by a kind of an expert in the SaaS space rather than e-commerce. But I think the kind of her messaging around positioning is genuinely some of the most useful that I've come across. And it can definitely be applied to other businesses than SaaS.
Brilliant. And it's definitely worth more than a blog post, because I totally know what you mean by saying that. Yeah, some do. Yeah, anyway, let's not rant about bad books. The traffic top tip: which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I mean, if we're talking about SEO, then internal linking is one of the like the quickest ways to improve performance. Again, going back to Macaroni, we've seen that out of all of the changes that we log, internal linking is probably one of the highest impacts. And it is something that can be done. It takes kind of minimal work.
And just for anyone listening, internal linking literally means a text link from one page on your website to another page on your website.
That's pretty much it. So you kind of need to have your keyword mapping done first, so you understand which pages you're targeting for which terms. But once you've done that, internal linking is probably one of the highest impact. Or I could probably also argue having content on a category page. That's probably up there in terms of impact.
Relatively straightforward in your control tasks. So loving that. Thank you. The tool top tip: maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Well, I'm going to have to say Macaroni. Yeah.
Well, you did build it to save time. So, you know.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Brilliant.
We have found that to be the case. I think our last check found that we're delivering work 20 times faster.
That's super impressive. And I suppose it's one of the cool things when you're an agency and you get to build the tech that solves your biggest problem. You're your own user base, aren't you, really?
Exactly.
Okay, cool. The carbon top tip: what's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce business?
This is a bit of a difficult one to answer, as we're not a store owner. But obviously, we want to reduce the carbon footprint of the work that we do wherever we can. And one of the ways that we're doing that is measuring the carbon output from our software, from our cloud processing, and then we're using a tree planting project to offset that.
I love that you brought up cloud. It's one of my big pushes in my own business at the moment with reducing our carbon footprint. We are embarking on a massive project to try and work out what videos we've got, where we've got them, and whether we should have them in the first place. E-commerce tech has done a vast number of summits over the years. And then e-commerce master plan, we've been going for almost a decade now, I think. So the number of videos that we need to delete. So yeah, we're kind of...
Okay.
Yeah. Cloud is... And it applies to all businesses as well, your cloud carbon footprint. So love that you brought that one up. Thank you, Sam. Now, before we say goodbye, Sam, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media if they want to get in touch?
Yeah, absolutely. So for Blink, our address is www.blinkseo.co.uk. For Macaroni, the URL is macaroni.works. And you can also find me on LinkedIn as well.
And that's Blink SEO for the done-for-you options and macaroni.works for the tool that will help you do this yourself.
That's it.
Perfect. Well, look, Sam, thank you so much for coming on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast and sharing this phenomenal project you're working on with us. I can't wait to see what happens over the next year with it. I have a feeling you're going to beat your 100K target. So thank you so much for coming on and sharing it with us.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
What an amazing project they're working on. I think that's, you know, you hear people say, oh yeah, SEO, you can't do anything with SEO anymore. SEO's dead. And it quite clearly isn't, based on what Sam and his team are achieving with this case study. They're sharing updates on it on the LinkedIn profile. So I highly recommend you going and following Sam on LinkedIn. That's where I found out about this and I'm really pleased I brought it on. So we had some myth busting, blog content, not doing pretty much anything at all for e-commerce brands unless you haven't got many SKUs. So there's a caveat to that. Backlinks, almost certainly not worth your effort because there's probably a whole stack of other stuff you could be doing with SEO that's going to help your business more. So that's music to everyone's ears, I think. Less backlinks, joy. And I thought that, you know, the really important thing to take away from this is that this is a large number of SKUs strategy. So if you've got 100 plus SKUs, you've got the ability to kind of gather those products together in different ways to create more collection pages. That's pages that feature at least three products where you can write some quality copy at the beginning that hits another keyword and brings you in traffic. That is essentially the strategy they've been using. And yes, as Sam's team have built a tool to speed it up, but I'm sure you can manage to work some, certainly quite a large part of this out by yourselves as well. But the tool is there if you want to fast track it. Right then, you can get your hands on our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to the things we mentioned by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast. Or you can use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/episode number into the URL bar and you'll go straight to the correct page on the website. When you're on the website, why not add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the many things I share to help you improve your business? And if you like this episode, make sure you check out episode 436, which is another case study on building sales with SEO, where I'm chatting with Freddie Chat from The Village Cricket Company, who's a WooCommerce seller. Thank you for tuning in to this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed even and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.